Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's be honest. Outside of me, there weren't any people saying the Steelers are going to win. So Donnie was not alone in saying yesterday was going to be a Steelers loss. Now, maybe
Some guy named Mugwamp in the YouTube comments kept calling me an idiot for not thinking that the Steelers would win.
Okay, congratulations, Mugwamp. We're on the same side here. All right, Donnie used very colorful language in saying they were going to get bludgeoned. That obviously didn't happen. The Steelers were the ones who were doing the bludgeoning, who had the nightsticks out and were beating repeatedly Jonathan Taylor, Daniel Jones, the Colts offensive line in route two. A huge win. I feel comfortable saying huge win. I think that some Steelers fans, I would call them, after these games, have a weird way of moving goalposts. And I wonder if we're going to hear that from our listeners today, and if I'm going to hear that from either one of you two guys. I don't think I'm going to hear it from Donnie, just based on some of the social media stuff I've seen from him. I can't tell yet, Chris, if I'm going to hear it from you, but it is interesting how these games get processed by not like Steelers haters, you know, Ravens fans or people like that. Like, even people within the fan base, I pride myself on being kind of outside the box and maybe thinking differently than people, but I'm still, after a game like that, kind of shocked by how many people are like, yeah, wasn't that impressive, wasn't that good of a win, the Colts lost the game, the Steelers didn't win it, Daniel Jones realized he was Daniel Jones again. Here's one, here's somebody, I'll actually not make a straw man, here's a tweet from someone who works in Pittsburgh sports media. His name is Alex Stumpf. You guys know Alex?
Covers the
I
Pirates.
Like Alex, I think he's a nice man. I sound like Starkey. I was just going to say that. I think he's, every time I've met him, he's been super cool. I think I met him once. So that one time we had together, he was
batting 1,000.
Extremely cordial.
That'll get you to the Hall of Fame.
Alex Stumpf, yeah, this game did nothing to improve my optimism for the rest of the year. This is the line that wants me to reach into the computer and shake him like Adam Sandler did to the kid with the fat face in Billy Madison. Defense is still completely reliant on turnovers and splash plays that the league's best teams won't commit. Alex, they faced a 7-1 team yesterday that was averaging points at a clip that was on par with the 2007 Patriots. If you can't say, oh, yeah, well, if they play the Chiefs, who, by the way, lost to the Bills, if they play the Lions, who, by the way, lost to the Vikings, if they play the Packers again, who, by the way, lost to the Panthers, they'll never be able to do that. Like, completely relying on turnovers and splash plays. So if they had forced punts, you'd feel better about this game. It's actually, you get demerits for forcing fumbles and interceptions in this warped world. I don't get that. Are you ready to take up arms for him on this, Malzi? This is not like the Patriots game where they went there and you said, that's never going to happen again. They got lucky. And then you did the ridiculous thing of saying, well, I think the Jets are better than the Patriots. You're not going to do the thing now where you say the Colts are actually like the 20th best team in the NFL, are you? Are listeners going to do that? 412-928-9370. That's why we have intern Jack here to answer phone lines. Go ahead.
I guess I'll be making a bit of a stump speech here.
No. Come on, man.
I thought it was a better performance for sure than the one they turned in against the Patriots, because that game was nip and tuck score-wise throughout, and they really, I mean, you want to talk about hitting the off switch on offense for a lengthy period of time, they did, and then they got the one drive when they needed it. This was, like a lot of NFL games, one where the Steelers, on the scoreboard and in terms of, like, tangible feel, you know, they're up 24-7, man. They're up 27-10 at one point. That's like, that's in total control. That's three scores with like 8.5 minutes left. And then the game's a one-score game. And they've got to recover a pair of onside kicks or whatever. So it was a way better performance. You'll recall I sort of denigrated a little bit the Patriots game because of fumble recovery luck.
Yes.
When you force interceptions, when you're getting your hand on the ball, jumping up and batting passes down consistently, when Peyton Wilson is just like apparently hiding or invisible and makes a clean pick because he drops into the right spot of a zone, stuff like that. Porter even late in the game makes a play on the ball. No, I'm not gonna dog you. But when I watch the Steelers play, regardless of who they're playing against, I try to evaluate the game as I'm sure most people do who fancy themselves like somewhat intelligent viewers, and I say, is this sustainable long term? Is this the transferable way to win? And I don't think forcing six turnovers is something you can count on. It's Mike Tomlin's preferred way. Let's make splash plays. Let's get home. But you saw how vulnerable they are the last 2 weeks before this game.
Yeah.
And full marks to winning it. The game is like a very needed tourniquet on what was starting to spiral out of control.
Yes.
But you saw how it can look if they don't get home and get those turnovers, man.
Okay, but in this game, it was not, oh, here's New England marching the ball up and down the field. Here comes another Steelers stop at the goal line.
That's why I said it was better for them. They were forcing the action. It wasn't just Ramondre Stevenson covers the ball in mayonnaise before he goes out
there. Like Stump says at the end of this tweet, it's a win that will get them to 9-8, 10-7, no further. I didn't leave that game thinking, well, this is just...
I don't fully agree. I don't agree with his perspective there for this reason. Much like I think that the defensive performance yesterday is not sustainable because it's built on a +5 turnover margin or whatever, plus four, whatever it was, and it's six turnovers forced, and you're not going to be that good all the time forcing turnovers.
Yep.
I genuinely don't think their offense will be that bad all the time, which is different. Like, if it was your classic Steelers team who had shown me absolutely nothing of substance offensively for the whole year... Different story, but we've seen them actually show that they can put points on the board with semi-regularity. They're like top half of the league right now, almost top third of the league. I do think, though, people whose initial inclination is great win, desperately needed win, both true.
Yeah.
And then the next thought they have is can't rely on doing it this way every week. I'm with that. I'm totally with that. You can't. You cannot count on this. Turnovers are not transferable week to week, season to season, everything else. They're just not. Because if they were, you'd force Joe Flacco, who's not having close to the season Daniel Jones was coming into this game, you'd have forced him into two or three.
I know, but like when you say that for this game in particular, they were not. It was not an opportunistic defense. It was a dominant defense that, like, the payoff was they took the ball away. The game against New England, it was the Patriots are moving the ball. May looks good, and here comes. Like one play out of 15 where the Patriots screwed up or the Steelers made a play and they got the ball. And that took points off the board for New England. This was Jonathan Taylor did nothing. Their offensive line, which was perceived as great, got pushed around. Daniel Jones panicked and made bad decisions because he was under duress. These are like... This is not this is the same old Steelers where Mike Tomlin, a couple times a year, he's got a rabbit's foot in his pocket and they get five or six turnovers. It was a complete defensive annihilation of the Colts.
I thought it was the inverse of the Green Bay game, essentially, is what I felt like. It wasn't a defensive annihilation. It was this. Rare, for me at least, we both watch a ton of NFL games. You know, we see the momentum swings and we understand why, like, the Colts are only a 3-point favorite because anything can happen.
Yeah.
It was a game, and I've rarely seen this year, that seemed to truly turn permanently on one play. Like, we're going to do PM team plays of the game here, but I'm going to give away the ghost a little bit.
Yeah.
The Colts went 13 plays, 79 yards, kept converting on fourth down, made it look easy. The Colts faked a punt, got it, had the Steelers again on their heels, and I was starting to think old Mr. Bludgeoning in there was going to be exactly right. TJ Watt strip sacked Daniel Jones, and you can really draw a big line and permanent marker and say this game was one thing before that play.
Yeah.
And became one thing after that play. I mean, that's how I view it.
We're going to have a separate conversation about the offense, but I just think you are trying too hard if you want to put an asterisk or a caveat next to their defensive performance.
But I'm not putting an asterisk next to it. I'm saying some of that defensive dominance, forcing, like getting sacks, right?
Yes.
How many sacks ended up in fumbles? Three? Three strip sacks?
Watt.
Highsmith and Herbig, or no?
No, and then he threw three interceptions, and then there was
the Downs special. Yes, so Danny, you want to talk about a guy just chewing his gum happily? There was that. Okay,
but that's not fumble. It's not fumble luck when the guy literally rips the ball away from the quarterback.
Tony,
yes,
you're not going to though turn two sacks into two fumbles all the time. And most, I think maybe most transferably, and the reason why I would not count on this kind of game, and sometimes I think Mike counts on it too much, like them getting these turnovers. You're just not going to have a quarterback crap down his leg every week like that after the first turnover goes against him.
Okay, did he come into the game with a sensitive stomach, or did the Steelers give him one? I would say they gave him one because he went right down the field on the opening drive and was fine.
They gave him one, and that's why I'm giving them credit for doing all this and wrecking the game.
Yeah.
I don't think every quarterback in the league is going to react that way.
And I don't either, but the point is now we know they're capable of it. Capable versus rely. Of course you can't rely on six turnovers every week. They haven't done it since 2010, but they're capable against the best offense in the league of putting this kind of defensive showing out there. Donnie and you and other people weren't sure they could have this kind of defensive performance against, insert the worst offense in the NFL. I mean, that's how the morale was that low. So when they go out and it's a complete belt-to-ass game, I don't know how Alex Stumpf or any Steelers fan, unless they're really in the mood to want to like tear this team down, which that's your prerogative as a fan, I guess. I don't see how this defensive performance deserves like any kind of scrutiny whatsoever. It's one of the best they've had in years. Yes, I don't think it's going to happen next week against the Chargers. It probably won't happen again for another 10 years. But that doesn't mean like, well, they're destined to go 9-8 because this is only going to happen once a year.
Let me crystallize this. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Does this game have you thinking they're going to win the division again?
No, I'm not going to go there, but here's what I'll say about how I feel about the Steelers now moving forward. Yesterday felt to me like the gravitational force of 500 in the NFL pulled everybody back to it. Mm-hmm. The Colts look like crap. The Chiefs got beat. The Lions lost at home to J.J. McCarthy. The Packers got beat by Rico Dowdle in Carolina. I think it's pretty obvious at this very second, there's no great team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. The Steelers are not great. I don't think anyone else really is.
The Steelers also randomly somehow now own tiebreakers head-to-head over two division leaders in the AFC.
They've beaten two 7-2 teams!
Which is absolutely bananas that they are one Denver loss away. And one more New England and Colts loss away from, if they win two somehow in a row, being the number one seed.
It just boggles my mind that you can say it did nothing to improve your optimism. I'm not saying it had to improve your optimism by leaps and bounds, or you go from saying this team blows ass to saying this team's going to win the Super Bowl. But to say you don't feel any better about them after this game. What? Not even 1% better. That's what he said.
All right, this isn't the Alex Stumpf show.
I know, but this clearly is not a straw man now, because you're someone in the media who's rolling their eyes at this game. So it made me think he's probably not alone in that. That there might still be Steelers fans out there that watch this game and they're like, yeah, whatever. And I'm saying this to me is not a yeah, whatever game. It was an A++ defensive effort. And I see no reason to play like the turnover game of, well, they forced six turnovers. The defense really isn't that good. Donnie, you want to put your 2 cents in here, please?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you come away from that game and not give credit to the defense and at least feel a little bit better. I think
because you kind of subtweeted people like this last night. I saw your tweet. I think it was referring to people that were having this reaction to the game.
I think you're grasping at straws to come away from that and not be impressed what they did to the Colts. And then the immediate drawback is, well, the Colts didn't play anybody. We all knew they were bad. No,
or it's
you
the
didn't.
Daniel Jones no, card. Daniel yeah. Jones stinks now. They did it against Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones blows.
I mean, and I know it might be easier for me to now jump on this side because I thought they were going to get their asses kicked, and I'm the one that looks like the idiot today, and that's fine. But what you watched yesterday was a dominant performance outside of the first quarter, and people want to jump on what they gave up in garbage time with a few minutes to go. That was a 27-10 football
game. Does it bother you finished as a one-possession game, Chris?
It clearly bothers people.
I asked Chris. It doesn't really bother me at all.
No, it doesn't. I said at the outset of the show, it felt like one of those many times you'll see an NFL game. I mean, I'm mad that Roman Wilson tried to go high hurdling late in the game. But
again,
like,
we'll get to offensive stuff.
But they were in complete control of that game, and at no point did I actually think, even though I am as pessimistic as it gets, that they were actually going to lose the game.
It was a 27-10 football game, and then some garbage time points get put up in the final few minutes when half the stadium was already gone celebrating.
Here's Paul in Greene County. We'll take calls all day. What do you got, Paul?
Okay, so watching this game, I think Indianapolis was the perfect team for this Steeler defense on the day that they needed it. If from what I've watched, and this is why I'll still doubt the defense, they played old-school football from Indianapolis. They want to run it, play action, seven-step drops, go deep, go over the middle. Look how many times we almost thought that Porter was going to get a pass interference or did get a pass interference. We haven't seen that from the other games. And, you know, most of these other teams that have really put a hurting on us is dinking and dunking, quick passes, 1 or 2 seconds. Daniel Jones was standing back their head. Didn't have all the time in the world, but that sets up for what the Steelers...
Paul, 2 weeks ago, they played a Bengals team, that was dead last running the ball. They gave up 9 yards per carry. They faced Jonathan Taylor, who was on a short list of MVP candidates yesterday, and held him to 45 yards.
That's what I'm talking about. The Steeler defense is made to do that and then have a drop back quarterback.
So wait a minute. Time out a second. Just to make sure I hear you right. You're not giving them credit because a defense...
No, I'm giving them credit for that day. I'm giving them credit on this day because this is what they're built for.
They're built to stop a team that's averaging 34 points per game? That's pretty good.
Yes, because we have the two defensive ends who love to crash, get upfield, create havoc in that pocket if the quarterback is standing there waiting for things to develop downfield. We haven't seen that from other offenses in the past couple weeks.
Okay, thank you.
Does it give you faith, what happened yesterday, Pony, does it give you more confidence, faith, that they could do this to Josh Allen later in the season?
My answer has to be yes.
Okay. How much more? Like a lot more? Like if you were at a... Okay.
Do you remember the things we were saying about their defense before Sunday's game?
I know,
I'm not
but
saying
if you
it
think
gets me
it's...
to a place where I'm like, bring on Josh Allen.
Okay.
But going into the game, it was defensive conversation, rock bottom. It doesn't feel like that right now. So obviously it's improved. Maybe people right now are like men's amends, 50-50. But that's a huge improvement over where we were going in.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That game.
There's a lot of potential. Potential is a dangerous word. You got to be consistent. You got to learn from your mistakes. And you got to make things happen. It's not just going to fall on your lap. You got to make sure, do the right things to, you know, really make sure that happens week in and week out.
Cam Hayward on the defense. There's a lot of potential. Is that how you're feeling after watching Sunday's bludgeoning of the Colts? 412-928-9370. Listen to the PM Team on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah, it was a word that swept up all of Pittsburgh last week from Donnie.
Bludgeoning.
Bludgeon.
That's the correct pronunciation.
Let me, Pony, I gave this to you in the break. Donnie, I want to get your take on this because I think it's a thoughtful critique or, you know, could lead to some interesting debate. This is our buddy Fake John and Robinson, Donnie. I'll summarize. In three consecutive tweets, he said the following: it's frustrating to watch yesterday because it's proof that when Tomlin doesn't respect a quarterback, no matter how good he is coming in, his defense can just be unleashed and he'll generate results like this. And that's proof that that big money defense can deliver results. His counter to that, though, or his flip side is he's so afraid of a Josh Allen or a Patrick Mahomes that he'll put the governor on them. He was afraid to rush Flacco and it killed them. Essentially saying Mike's fear factor for certain quarterbacks, Don, will prevent this defense from actually having a chance to do this to certain big
quarterbacks. So how do we discern who he's afraid of and who he's not afraid
of? Basically, if it's a younger guy who hasn't won anything or whatever.
Well, what's Josh Allen won?
I mean,
he's also gone to Buffalo and beat him.
I think it's mainly Mahomes. I guess I wanted to bring it up to both of you because at least here was my reaction and I sent him a message back.
Yes, I mean, Mahomes is still the boogeyman in the playoffs.
And it's also Andy Reid scheming against you. I just think that Mahomes and Allen both, they might try to unleash the dogs, but they're both so good, I don't know if you'd notice if it happened.
As someone that has made a very nice living in Pittsburgh, being in a camp that I would call the staunch Mike Tomlin critic club, as someone that has, during seasons of 10-7 football with horrible playoff losses, said things like, this isn't good enough for Steelers fans. We should be asking for more. Mike's had a long time. He should be doing better. I still cannot bring myself to say that my opening comment after yesterday's game is not, quote, it was frustrating to watch. Nothing about that was frustrating to me, other than the first 15 minutes of the game, which was very frustrating. But it's not a 15-minute game. It's a 60-minute game. The next 45 minutes, not frustrating at all.
Don,
not even in the slightest. Not one bit of it was frustrating after that.
Don, your response to what I just brought up there, that idea that it's dependent on whether he respects the quarterback or not, basically?
I mean, I can understand where he's coming from, but I think everybody, just about everybody, fears the top two guys
so
in the AFC.
So,
I think every single team says, oh man, we got to play Patrick Mahomes or Josh
right,
Allen
so
this
what's
week.
They're
not exactly
John and Robinson
looking forward to it.
That Herbert's going to go for 404 touchdowns on Sunday? What bucket does he fall in?
I think Herbert might be like in purgatory there.
Both of their tackles are out.
No, I know. They're very much banged the hell up. I just think it's an interesting chicken and the egg question because my very specific opinion is some of these guys are on a different level, Allen and Mahomes, and I think you might see Tomlin go into that game, let's say, against Allen, and he's going to blitz the unholy daylights out of him, and we'll never know if he was going in hyper-aggressive because Allen might carve them up. Like, I just don't think it's as easy as saying when he respects a quarterback, he plays timid and shows his belly. When he doesn't, he unleashes the dogs.
I don't know. I don't really feel like they did unleash the dogs yesterday. Someone would have to give me like blitz rate statistics. I feel like they basically played one safety deep and wanted to make sure that Jonathan Taylor didn't beat them. And the Colts counterpunch was, all right, if you're loading up to stop the run, we trust Daniel Jones enough now and our receivers enough to slice and dice passing.
I thought the big difference that the Colts did that was bad technique, I guess, in the end by Steichen, because it eventually led to the Steelers breaking the dam a little bit. He had Daniel Jones throwing deep routes.
Oh,
like
yeah.
20-yard routes. It was not ball out quickly. They were holding the
fair
ball.
Fair enough.
And
right.
I think that once the Steelers finally got home,
yes.
Like on the strip sack play very quickly here,
yeah.
Warren's in the flat and Jones is about to throw it. And
okay.
If he catches it, it's 35 yards.
So you could argue then that was a tactical mistake by the Colts to not have Jones do the same thing, to just hot potato the ball and get it out fast.
Correct.
However, their offensive line was being praised as the best in the NFL.
No, they trusted
and the Steelers'
their guys.
Front seven had underachieved. So I don't really blame them for that. Now, over the course of the game, they probably should have made an adjustment. They really didn't. They kept falling back on, this has worked for us all year. Why would we do something differently? And the Steelers...
They were pretty stubborn in their approach.
But the fact that they ran their regular offense, which had proven to be the best in the NFL,
sure.
And this Steelers defense, much maligned, completely shut it down, is something to be applauded. To me, it is. I have seen people tweet the Colts lost that game yesterday.
No, I mean, I think a guy in Shane Steichen who's gotten the better of Mike Tomlin did not get the better of him yesterday. But then again, even as I say that out loud, the most recent time where he carved up Mike Tomlin, who was quarterbacking the team the majority of the game? Mr. Flacco, the boogeyman.
Here's Kenneth on the fan. Hello, Kenneth.
Hey, I just look at it as Pittsburgh is one of the greatest cities when it comes to sports, but sometimes the critics are so spoiled. It's like Wicked Mike do right. Like, when he's doing wrong, it's fire Mike. The next day, if he does something right, it's, well,
Kenneth,
you know,
his team had an awesome – he had a great game yesterday, he as a coach. His defense was terrific. Yeah, like, that's his side of the ball.
Yes.
His defense was great. Whatever simplifications they made were great. I'm just saying, like, I would be – I'm not going to sit there and count on six turnovers being forced because I just watched them not force one in the last 2 weeks and get carved up for the most part.
Yeah, no, I get it. It just seems like remember, two-game losing streak. We wanted to burn down the house. We were about to fire everybody. As soon as we make some coaching changes, which they did coaching changes, you don't hear anything about the praise of Mike right now.
Well, I just did. I said he had a great game.
Not you. I'm talking about the people on Twitter and everything else. It's just
trolls,
weirdly.
People in their mother's basements, thank you, Kenneth. As Ben would say.
I have a just... off of what you said there. So, weirdly, if the Steelers won the game 27-20 mm-hmm. and forced zero takeaways, you'd feel better about it?
I know this is going to make you insane. If they played a game, yes, that was more like, let's say it was 27-10 into the fourth quarter, okay?
Yeah.
Same way it was.
Sure.
24-7.
Yep.
And it was on zero turnovers, but they had pressured Jones and just continually forced punts.
Yeah.
I would feel more sustainable.
Why? If a possession ends in a punt, why is that better than if it ends in an interception or fumble?
Because turnovers, just as a statistical thing, are noisy and they don't really offer, like, week to week any kind of stability or predictive nature. That's why people say, like, if you're depending on turnovers as to how you're picking games, you're going to be in the poorhouse.
Okay, but think about what you're saying. So, by that logic, if Watt doesn't take the ball out and just sacks Daniel Jones and they're backed up enough where they punt, you're saying the statistician would look at that and say, good defensive drive. But because he took the ball away and forced a fumble and the Steelers got it, the statistician says, lucky drive by the Steelers.
Say lucky
that can't
drive.
Be sustained, right?
I don't say lucky drive. I don't. I would look at that. Like, for me, if I see a team forcing a lot of turnovers, I say, okay, that's pretty good. That's obviously you're like taking the action to a team. But I've seen them in the past 2 weeks prior to this, and I'll get to my point quickly here, look horrible because they couldn't force turnovers, which is their whole bread and butter. One of the reasons I go back and think about the 2000 Ravens a lot is like maybe the best defense I've ever seen with my own eyes.
Yes.
They just, it was a different NFL, but you just couldn't move the ball on them. And like that was so steady week after week, you just started to expect it. Turnovers are so volatile.
Okay.
You can't go into a game expecting
understood.
Three of them.
But what you said there in that answer, you couldn't move the ball on them outside of the opening drive and garbage late. The Colts really couldn't move the ball on the Steelers. They didn't go three and out on every possession, but in the context of what they've done offensively this season, they really did do nothing. They punted, they gave the ball away, they couldn't run the ball, they couldn't get Tyler Warren going, Daniel Jones didn't beat you with his legs at all, like, they couldn't do any of the things.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Who played a better defensive game yesterday? The Bills against Mahomes or the Steelers against Daniel Jones and the Colts? I would say the Bills did. One turnover, a pick.
Okay.
They forced Patrick Mahomes into 15 of 34.
Yeah, yes. Okay. But yes.
That's sort
fair
of
enough,
the platonic ideal of
okay.
what I'm talking. But nobody's going to talk about the Bills defense and say, oh my God, they did a number on him.
Yes, they did. They quite literally went on TV last night and said the Bills defense held Patrick Mahomes under 50% passing for the first time ever. This is one of the best defensive efforts we've seen all year. Yes, Chris, people
What's
are actually saying those things.
What's more predictive?
What's more predictive?
Like, I would bet on the Bills being able to do something similar to that again if they needed to than the Steelers.
I don't know,
man.
If I had to pick a defense to bet on the rest of the year, I would bet on the Steelers defense over the Bills defense. The Bills defense They've got safeties we never heard of. Now the Steelers have Jalen Ramsey back there. And the Bills lost Ed Oliver for the season, who's pretty much their Cam Hayward. I didn't think I'd come on the air here like denigrating what the Bills did, but I'm not sure how sustainable that is either.
I mean, they're 12th in yards allowed, they're 9th in points. The Steelers are still 30th in yards and 21st in points.
Man. Right. I mean, they've got a long way to go, but they took a huge Carl Lewis-sized jump in the right direction yesterday.
I thought you were going to say dump, and I was about to tell you he's not known for...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt had the call. You're going to hear them in our PM team place of the game segment. Steelers improved to 4-0 with Ian Eagle on the call. And TJ's Hall of Fame or future Hall of Fame brother in the broadcast booth. And
hurts
I will
a little
admit,
bit
he's growing on me.
I was just going to say that, man. I hate to admit this.
Why?
Because I kind of wanted to dislike it, and I wanted to think he was going to show like obscene amounts of favoritism towards his brother. But I think he calls it pretty closely down the middle, man. He just refers to him as TJ Watt. I think Eagle's a total pro, so they don't like linger on too much of the, hey, it's your brother, he's playing. He's pretty good, man. Like, it bugs me that he's as good
as
he is.
And Donnie, you missed the Bazooka Joe conversation yesterday.
Oh, my God.
About Danny Smith and Gene Steratore got in their ear and said he's not a double bubble guy. He's a Bazooka Joe chewer.
When Bazooka Joe, you pull it out of that stupid wrapper where there was the Bazooka Joe comic. Yeah. It was always hard as a brick.
Yeah. I was not really a fan.
So he's, well, Big League Chew was always the
gold
standard.
I was going to say Big League Chew.
You get a bunch of that stuff that's supposed to look like it's dip or whatever. You put the strawberry in and you just get going. You got a cow.
Would you go with green apple?
A strawberry always.
I like grape. You know who invented it? Big League Chew?
Oh, wait. It's like it's somebody already famous for other stuff.
It is.
John Copenhagen?
It's an athlete. I just can't think of who. It's somebody who was addicted to like chewing tobacco. Is it like Rube Waddell?
Mm-mm.
All right.
Ted Williams.
Jim Boughton, the author of Ball 4.
Oh.
Who did you say, Don?
Ted Williams.
Ted Williams.
Any ball game. All right. Let's do our PM team plays of the game.
Where the hell did that come from? Seriously.
Let's start with Donnie's. This is an obvious one.
Jones loses the ball. It got knocked away by Watt. TJ Watt doing what he does best. Strip sack. Recovery.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Tomlin said himself that it was the play that turned the tide, and it certainly felt that way in the building. I know there may be another play that you guys have here that could be another argument for that, but that was a sign that they would be able to frazzle Daniel Jones. And he is a quarterback that's certainly prone to that. They did it last year when he was in here with the Giants. But to this point in the season, or at least to that point in the season, he had been very comfy back there. He only had one game where he had turned the ball over multiple times, and they pretty much had him running a game manager plus style, like almost like an Alex Smith, I feel, type offense
weirdly
when
enough,
he was running. And they got to him, and
once they got to him on that play, then the dam broke.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they got to him, and he reverted back to New York Giants, Daniel
Well, this
Jones.
Is like intern Jack, who's right next to you, his old argument about how Jalen Hurts blows, even though he's out of his mind. You take away Saquon Barkley, what are you left with? You make him play left-handed. You took away Jonathan Taylor. What did Daniel Jones?
Well, he
turn
was
into?
Cooking.
A
no,
pumpkin.
I don't think it's the same right? analogy because I think Hurt. It's about can you handle some adversity, and I think Hurts has proven he can handle adversity. He's mentally, I think, very.
But
tough.
What I'm saying is, if there's a riddle or a question about who the Colts MVP is, didn't we discover who it is yesterday? When Jonathan Taylor's not going for three touchdowns in every game, Daniel Jones looked like just a guy again.
Dude, he looked great until that fumble is a line of demarcation. That is the rare example, especially as early as it was in the game still. I think you have games that people say, oh, it was decided. This was the game-turning play, and they're kind of being a little bit exaggerated. That is one of the truest examples I've ever seen.
PM team plays of the game doesn't necessarily mean the biggest play. Donnie, I think, went for that. My play is one that I thought was a huge catalyst and a kind of under-the-radar play in the Steelers coming back to beat the Colts.
Gainwell is in there. Rodgers will check it down to him. Spin move makes one man miss. And Gainwell with a flag down. Neville Gallimore may have grabbed him in the wrong spot. Loss of two. Penalty marker at the 41.
Personal foul. Face mask. Defense number 92. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
That was the first play after the Watt fumble recovery. It's a play that goes in reverse. It goes backwards. It's about to be second and long. And it's an unnecessary penalty by a Colts defensive lineman. I still don't think he actually grabbed Gainwell's penalty.
Say, he more like... grabbed his penalty?
More like... Or grabbed his face mask, sorry. He more like clubbed him in the face mask.
He forearm shivered him around the neck, and I didn't think his hands ever hit his face mask.
Probably still should be a penalty when you hit somebody like that. That was the Steelers' first down of the game. And it happened in the second quarter. And that put them into Colts territory, and they started to get moving and grooving on that drive, and they finished it off with the Jalen Warren touchdown. But before that, their offense was a complete train wreck in the game, and they needed something to kickstart them, and it was a Colts gaffe. All right, let's get to old Mulsey's play.
And such a big target for them. That's popped up in the air and intercepted! The ball went airborne, and Jack Sawyer was in the right spot to get it.
So, couple things. I give the coaching staff broadly, Tomlin and all of his coaches, I would say credit, defensive line coach credit, because clearly it was something that the front seven was kind of drilled into. You got to get your hands up on this guy. He might give you chances for deflected passes. Wilson goes way airborne, freak athlete.
Yeah.
Sawyer, I give Sawyer credit for this part of the play, because Wilson really makes the play. On the reverse angle, you see Sawyer, who's pass rushing at that point. For how late he gets his head up and realizes there's a ball fluttering in front of him, some good like receiver-like skills there to make a quick catch on that ball. The reason that is the play of the game for me, other than Watt, is this. At that point, it's 17-7 in the third quarter. I will remind you, that happened on second and one from the Steelers' 35.
They were moving the
ball.
They
were absolutely looking like a team that was about to make it 17-14. And do any of us feel particularly good about the game if the Colts march right down the field from their 20?
Well, they'd feel better about themselves is the bottom
line.
They'd feel like they were in the game.
Don't you feel like at 17-14, if they knock it in there and score, not a guarantee, but they were probably going to get at least three. Don't you start to feel antsy like the Steelers didn't put them away and suddenly this game's close? Instead, you turn around, and to the Steelers' credit, they don't even let the subsequent drive get to third down. They punch it in, and at 24-7, you started to feel like the Colts were getting run under a little bit.
Man, the sun's always shining on Jack Sawyer. He's a five-star.
Thank you, Mike. That was PM Team Plays of the Week. Let's get Trio and McKeesport's reaction to yesterday. Hello, Trio.
Afternoon, fellas. How y'all doing?
We're good.
Oh, good. Good to hear y'all. So, real quick, I like it. It wins a win's a win's a win, as they say. My only thing is, they were talking earlier on the AN team. I know you guys just want the win, but the trade deadline coming up, I'm looking at offensive line, defensive line.
I'm not looking at receiver two. I'm not looking at another secondary helper. I'm looking at solidifying the line, because going back to look at the last five Super Bowls, they made a comment earlier, you don't really need a star wide receiver at number two. Like when Mike Evans and Chris Godwin with AB and Rob Gronkowski all won the Super Bowl, only Rob and AB scored in that game. And so
What's that supposed to mean? You don't think having Mike Evans and Chris Godwin to take the great corners away from those guys to make it easier on them helped?
It probably did, but if you look at the numbers, Mike Evans only caught one ball.
What would happen? What would happen to the Steelers' offense if DK Metcalf got hurt?
That's why I would say trade for either an additional defensive lineman or offensive lineman.
That really didn't answer the question, though.
But who's going to catch the football if they trade for another offensive and defensive lineman or both? Like, who catches the ball?
We have to go back to what wins playoff games, wins Lombardis. Old school, run the football, play action.
Trio, who won the Super Bowl last year?
The Eagles.
How many rushing yards did... I know, but who are their two wide receivers?
A.J. and Devontae. But
yes.
Did A.J. score or did Devontae...
So that's the barometer for whether wide receivers are good or not? Who scores the touchdowns in the Super Bowl?
Trio.
Who's more effective?
Trio, let me ask you a question.
Get points on the board. If it wasn't for that running game... AJ
you said
Devontae
get back to old school
to
football. This franchise won four with guys named Swan and Stallworth. They weren't half bad back then.
They were Hall of Famers, but
exactly.
Now the game is different.
Yes, it's more of a passing game now than it was back then.
Has Trio looked at the team? Trio, I kind of enjoyed that actually a lot. A team has won three of the last six Super Bowls played, the Chiefs. Does Trio know that Travis Kelce, their tight end, he's either set or is on the cusp of setting damn near every playoff pass-catching record? Like career one?
Yeah, he's got all the Jerry Rice records.
He's got all the Jerry Rice records.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.